And the reason why I chose the book of Acts is because I do believe with all my heart that the Lord is calling us as Parkland Baptist Church to move forward into His purposes, into the plan and purpose that He has for us. And He wants to use us in powerful ways, I believe, in this community, in the Parkland community, Spruce Grove and beyond. And so I hope that as we go through this series, that the Lord will speak to us concerning what He has in store. And one of the things that we're going to look at today is what Jonathan read from chapter 3 of the book of Acts. We're going to go through verses 1 to 10. And it describes, as we heard, about a major miracle that took place in a lame or in a handicap. But before we get there, let me just share a few things here. I believe that one of the dangers for the church in the 21st century is declaring a forgiveness without a repentance. I believe that another is proclaiming a Christianity based on human effort. It seems much of the church has doubts regarding the power of Christ Jesus. And if we believe in the infinite God, then we should have no trouble believing that God works in astounding ways, even today. So does the church need more how-to workshops? They're good, but they're not sufficient. Does the church need more financial resources? We need finances, but that's insufficient. Does the church need more trained clergy? No. I believe for what the church needs most, not only today, but throughout history and into the future, to live out to the Great Commission in the spirit of the Great Commandment with the authority and power of the risen Lord. And that's the topic for this morning. That's what we're going to look at. And we're going to see some of that happening in Acts chapter 3. But before we go there, let's pray for some prayer that the Lord would speak to each one of us in the way that we need to hear. Lord, we thank You so much for Your plan, Your purpose that You have for us as a church, and that Your plan and Your purpose, Lord, is revealed in Your Word, but it is also enabled by Your Spirit. And Lord, I would ask that as we look into Your Word, as we glean some principles from Your Scriptures that You've disclosed, Lord, that You would give us application, that You would give us obedience, an obedience on our human effort, an obedience not based on our own resources, but an obedience based on the enabling power of Your Holy Spirit. I pray You would help me to communicate Your truths. And Lord, I'm not inerrant. I make mistakes. I will say the wrong things that are not aligned with Your Word. And I pray, Lord, that the ability to test everything with the Word of God and also what is not of You, Lord, it won't take any fruit in our hearts. It won't bear fruit in our hearts or take root. We ask, Lord, that You and You alone would be dwelling in our midst, that the evil one who seeks to deceive and destroy would not be welcome in our and so, Lord, we commit this time to You in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we look into Acts chapter 3, let's do a real quick, brief review. On chapter 1, we saw the church on the wait. Jesus told His disciples before they can go out, they had to wait in Jerusalem for the promised Spirit. And then in chapter 2, we saw that the wait was over. As the disciples were immersed or baptized with the promised Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And now in chapter 3, we see the church on the move. They're going to start moving out to Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost places of the world. Now in Acts chapter 2, verse 43, 3, Luke says that many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. And now, in chapter 3, he supplies a dramatic example. Cat man is immediately and instantaneously healed. And this ministry, or this miracle, shows that the ministry of the risen Lord is carried on first through his apostles, and then his ministry forward through his church. In fact, if we go to Isaiah chapter 35, there's a prophecy there regarding the Messiah. Chapter 35, verse 5, then the eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf will be unstopped, then the lame will leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute will shout for joy, for waters will break forth in the wilderness and streams in the Arabah. And this is a prophecy concerning the works of the Messiah. And so Acts is an account of Christ Jesus continuing his work in and through the Christian. Acts is an account of the church on the move, even in the face of opposition. Acts is an account of the church growing spiritually, numerically, and geographically. And this movement begins with two people that we read about in verse 1, Peter and John. Peter and John actually had a very strong bond of friendship. If we look in the Gospels, especially in Luke chapter 5, verse 10, they were partners in fishing. They were part of an inner circle that Jesus spent more time with, Peter, James, and John. Peter and John prepared the last Passover Seder, and together Peter and John the empty tomb, and so they had a strong bond of friendship. In fact, sometimes they were competitive toward one another, but now we see them cooperating with one another in ministry as they were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, which is the hour of prayer. Now the pattern of ministers was modeled by Jesus himself when he sent out his disciples 2 by 2. He didn't send them out alone. He sent them out 2 by 2. And this suggests, I believe, that effective ministry happens when close friends come together to serve the unity. And so Peter and John here and the early Jewish believers continued to live as observant Jews. They went to the temple. They saw no need to break ties with biblical Judaism because Judaism and biblical Christianity were very compatible. Judaism is foundation, Christianity is fulfillment. And so they saw no need to cease to be Jewish when they came to faith in Christ Jesus. And so after the fall of the temple, the first temple anyway, which happened when the Jews were exiled in Babylon, because they could no longer go to the temple to pray, because they could no longer offer sacrifices, they had set up 3 hours of prayer. And these prayers replaced the temple sacrifices. So diaspora, while they're in exile in Babylon, the prayers substituted or replaced the temple sacrifices. In fact, if we go to Daniel chapter 6, I'm giving some background here just to set the stage so that we can have a context for what we're looking at. But if we go to Daniel chapter 6, Daniel is in Babylon, and there was a decree issued that you're not allowed to pray except to this golden, or except to this idol. And then notice in verse 10 of chapter 6 in Daniel, it says, now when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house Now in his roof chamber, he had windows open toward Jerusalem. And he continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks to God as he had been doing previously. And so there were 3 times a day that were set up for the Jewish people to pray through as a result of their exile in Babylon, and they continue that practice even until this day. Now in Israel, the daylight begins around 6 a.m. and ends around 6 p.m. So what they've done is they've set up a certain way of numbering the time. 0 is at 6. The third hour is at 9 a.m. The sixth hour is at 12. And the ninth hour is at 9 p.m. And so they were praying at the ninth hour, 3 p.m. in the afternoon, the afternoon prayers. Now there's something unique about the ninth hour. It was at this hour that the Lord Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? It was at this hour that he also cried out, it is finished, and gave up his spirit. And it was at this hour that the temple of the curtain, the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Significant things happen at the ninth hour. And so at this same hour, the ninth hour that we read about here, which is 3 p.m, Peter and John are on their way to worship, and a handicapped man is on his way to seek alms. And here we witness the weakness of man coming face to face with the power of God. Now this man evidently had a defect involving his ankle and foot bones such that he couldn't bear weight. He could not even hobble on with crutches. The only way that he could get around was to be carried. And so this man lost his childhood. He could not earn a living. He had no sense of independence. And in fact, this went on for more than 40 years. His handicap defined his world for 40 years. How do I know it's for 40 years? If we go to Acts chapter 4, verse 22... Because of this miracle, the disciples were encountering persecution. And so they have to give defense for what happened. And in verse 40, chapter 4, verse 42, it says, for the man who had been healed by God through Peter, the man was more than 40 years old whom this miracle of healing had been performed. And so he was defined by this reality for 40 plus years. But on this momentous day, at this fateful hour, his weakness was turned into strength by the power of God. The power of God at work through his people. Now it tells us here that, verse 2, that they carried him to the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. You know, in real estate, what's the biggest important thing in real estate?